Taking our Bibles now to Psalm 55. Psalm chapter 55. Psalm chapter 55, we're going to be zeroing in on verses 6 and 7. The topic of our message this evening, before we go to prayer, is entitled, When You Feel Like Escaping. Have you ever been there? Some of you are chuckling because you have been there, or maybe you are there. You just feel like verses 6 and 7. Listen to the words of David. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I would wander off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Have you ever felt like escaping? There are six principles that we're going to be looking at when circumstances stack against us and we feel like escaping. Six things that very briefly in our little study tonight we want to draw your attention to. When you're confronted with difficulties and you feel like escaping, principle number one, analyze the problem. Sit down and in propositional terms, express to yourself what the situation is that is causing you upsetment or difficulty. Analyze the problem. You know, these words were spoken by King David when Absalom, David's rebellious son, was attempting to overthrow his father's kingdom. Interesting commentary for you to read as you would go home, perhaps for supplementary study on your part. Take time to read 2 Samuel chapter 15 through chapter 17. And take the time to look at the background, at the heartache and the insurrection and the modus operandi of Solomon. And then, of course, we're also aware of the fact within those chapters that David's trusted advisor, Ahithophel, was also involved in the betrayal, even in counseling Absalom. And, of course, we see in this passage that there is specific reference to this as we look into it. But analyze the problem. Just as it's important to understand the problem that was in David's mind when we look at Psalm 55 and we analyze David's situation and what he was going through, even so you should analyze what is your concern and what is the problem. Principle number two, not only should we analyze the problem, but we need to maintain our perspective. Maintain your perspective. You know, God was in control of David's circumstances. God was in control of everything that he was going through. And you know, the Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Whenever we're faced with adversity, we're so quick to say, my situation is unique. I'm the only one that's going through this. Maintain your perspective. Number one, forget. Don't forget that God is there. He's in control. He has a higher purpose that we can't see. God has a unique ability, folks, not to be blasphemous in any way, or trite in any way, God has a tremendous ability to look around the corners that we can't see. He knows what's coming. He understands the entire picture. And for some reason that David did not understand, God was allowing this time of betrayal, this time of insurrection. And God would be able to make him even a better king through the adversity. So realize that everyone feels that way at one time or another. Like Lord, you've abandoned me. Lord, help me. I'm being oppressed. Individuals hate me, he says. I just wish that I could escape. Folks, let me tell you something. If you feel like escaping, I guarantee you, if we were to go around this room, every one of us has been there at one time or another. So analyze your problem, yes. Look at the circumstances for as they are, yes. But maintain your perspective. Don't get the Elijah syndrome, that I'm the only one that is going through this. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He'll not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now look at verse 17 of our passage in Psalm 55. Third principle, third step in when you feel like escaping, analyze the problem. Maintain your perspective, but also maintain your spiritual priorities. We need to keep our eyes on our priorities. Folks, we can't afford to escape. We can't afford to take a vacation from God. We can't, as much as we would like to escape, perhaps escaping would be the absolute worst thing that you could do. God wants you to meet those difficulties. Look at verse 17. David maintained his priorities. He said in verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. David maintained the priority of prayer and keeping in contact with the Lord. Sometimes we think, oh, if I could just get away from the circumstances. God is the God of the circumstances. And He may very well be allowing crises in your life because your prayer life hasn't been what it should be. And He wants you to draw back closer to Him. And oh, how we have that tendency to wander, don't we? When everything is going well and we think we have our hand on the wheel and our foot on the throttle and everything is going our way and we're able to keep it between the lines on our own power, okay, Lord, you could take the back seat. Some people say, God's my co-pilot. Hey, if that's the case, move over. He needs to be the pilot of your life. And in good times or in times that we perceive as difficult, sometimes God allows difficult times in our lives because He wants us to maintain our spiritual priorities. David responded, I think of Daniel. You know, you could read the book of Daniel and see how David or Daniel prayed regularly three times a day. And all of those who were seeking to betray him and to dethrone him from his position as in power, the only thing they could find with him was his prayer life. But he didn't stop praying. He maintained his spiritual priorities. Then the fourth thing that I believe that we need to practice when we are tempted to just do like David said and just fly off and escape and try to run away from the heat treat before, I might add, before we're ready and benefiting from it, we need to meditate on His person. Meditate on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Think of Jesus Christ. You know, verses 12 through 14 of this passage, which we're going to look at in a few moments, have special messianic significance. The Word of God records to us the words of David referring to Ahithophel when he said, "It wasn't an enemy that reproached me, for then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that magnified himself against me. then I would have hid myself from him. But it was a man, mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. Now look at verse 21 of 1 Peter 2. Did our Lord go through that type of betrayal? Certainly. Ahithophel is but an illustration of what Jesus would go through with Judas. Perhaps some of you have had Judases in your life and your Christian walk. Sometimes it can be a marital situation, or a friendship, or an employee situation, or a circumstance in a local church. But it says in 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereto were ye called." When you feel like escaping, meditate on his person. Jesus knows how you feel. He's that high priest who can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities. Notice it says, Jesus also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. It's not if it's going to happen, folks. It's when it's going to happen. We have been called to it. We are to follow in his steps. We have no choice. Aren't you glad that Jesus just didn't run away? Aren't you glad that he was willing to even taste the dregs of death and spiritual separation from God on that cross for you? We are to follow, folks, in his steps. The servant is not greater than his Lord. We're not here to have a party. We're not here to find comfort and contentment and some type of spiritual Eden down here. This is a proving ground, folks. This is a place where we are to shine and manifest his glory. And notice, in the midst of his betrayal, in the midst of his trials, he did no sin, verse 22. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Oh, maintain and meditate on his person. It says, who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Don't run away. Everything that God is allowing is a righteous decision from his divine throne. And when eternity is manifested, you will be glad that you went through every trial. And you'll find that properly responded to, it will eventualize itself in a crown for his glory that you might cast at his feet in service for him. And of course, that great passage, who his own self bare our sins, this passage that sets forth divine substitutionary atonement, as Isaiah 53 and other passages delineate. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So meditate on his person when you're going through the temptation to just escape and take matters into your own hands. Be cautious. All of you have heard me preach on the infirmed man in his room who saw a cocoon. And he so wanted to help that butterfly to be able to get out of that cocoon. And he snipped the end of it in an attempt to facilitate. And the butterfly was born distorted and disfigured. And we've all heard that circumstance and that illustration given, and how that God has his cocoon experiences for us. And those are developmental periods in our lives. And to try to escape is to cut the cocoon and try to circumvent God's growth process and purging process in our lives. So let us not escape. Let us remember that he has his purpose in our lives. Principle number 5 in Psalm 55, trust in his power when you're going through those temptations to escape or to quit or whatever the circumstance might be. We have people today that are quitting everywhere, quitting the ministry, quitting on their marriages, quitting from one job to the other, running, looking for the greener grass. And people today are quitting. Young people are quitting, giving up, waiting on the right partner and going into promiscuity and all of these things. We're living in a quitting society today. But you know what? We need to trust in His power. Look at verse 19 of Psalm 55. Notice it says, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. God has been faithful. The same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is your God. He's able to be your defense against your enemies. It says, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Look at verse 22. Cast thy burden, roll it on over upon the Lord. Trust in His power, you see. He shall sustain thee. He can give you the grace that you need. Verse 22 of Psalm 55, notice, He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a blessing. We can trust in His power. He wants, by the way, to carry our burdens. But oftentimes, we want to continue to carry them. Just like the old hitchhiker who's got a big military knapsack on his back. Pickup truck comes rolling down the road. He gets in to the cab, but he keeps the backpack on his back. And the driver says, hey, we got 150 miles ahead of us. Why don't you just get that off of your shoulders, throw it in the back, relax. We want to hang on to our burdens. But the Word of God tells us in Psalm 55, verse 22, cast thy burden on the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never, I like that, suffer the righteous to be moved. So don't try to do your own moving, okay? Trust in the Lord, and He'll not allow you to stumble. Now, principle number 6, and we'll close with this. You must have an unconditional belief in God's purpose. God's purpose. You know, I think often of 2 Samuel when I read the Psalms. If you'll turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7, this great passage that delineates the classic Davidic covenant. Anyone who's preaching on great texts of the Bible will certainly land sooner or later on 2 Samuel chapter 7. Tremendous, wonderful passage of Scripture. And here in verse 8, I'm sure that David thought often of God's promises to him. Notice the Word of God came to Nathan in the evening, and Nathan was told to tell David the following message. And notice in verse 8 of 2 Samuel 7, now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people, over Israel. You know, David needs to remember where he's come from. And you know, the old hymn, we've come this far by faith, apply it to your life today. How many years have you gone on for the Lord? He's never let you down. He's taken you along. You know, we have had our sheepcote experience, the experiences before God called us, and we have here the blessings. David became ruler over the people. And notice verse 9. I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. I have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. I will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom forever. You see, here we have a belief in the purpose of God. Trust that God is able to work in your life. In verse 16 it says, "Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever." So therefore, who is Absalom? Who is Ahithophel? Yes, there are going to be bumps and ruts in the road of life, but God's purposes will not be circumvented. We need, however, to respond properly to the trials and testings of life. When you feel like escaping, analyze the problem. Maintain your perspective. Maintain your spiritual priorities. Meditate on the person of Christ. Trust in His power and believe in His purpose. God can do great things. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, every one of us has been here at one time or another, and we've all, in one way or another, felt the cutting sword of betrayal and misunderstanding. But Father, we thank You for the fact that You are our divine captain, and You exemplify and model the truth for us that we have read even this evening. As You looked for the joy that was set before You, even being willing to endure the shame and the difficulties of the cross on our behalf. Lord, I pray that You'd bless us now as we go to prayer and minister to our hearts, and Lord, help us to be encouraged in these needs as we will pray for them. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.